Hey boo, this is your host Ruby Michelle. Welcome to Gym Talk, your safe space for real, raw, and relatable conversations. So, hi Gem! I hope you guys are having a beautiful day. I have another guest for us this week. Introduce yourself, love.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Chloe. Chloe Laluz on Instagram.
So what do you do?
What do I have to say? I'm an entrepreneur. I own a dog food company, intentional dog food company. I'm also an artist and a lover of everything that is the universe and spirituality. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Yes, I just saw your Astro Bay stickers, prints. I really love it. She's so talented.
Thanks so much. Oh, thank you so much. That's sweet. Yeah, it was the first time. I do a lot of custom work, like a lot of custom canvases and custom work. So it's fun because I get to co-create with my clients, but at the same time, I never get to do like my own thing. So this was really like my own thing.
I was really excited.
I was really excited to like put that out there. Plus I'm like, if you follow me on Instagram, you know that like I'm always talking about astrology and where the moon is and all that. So so it was only right. It made only perfect sense that I would go ahead and do an astro kind of collection.
So. Type of vibe. Yes, I love it. So what's your sign actually? I don't think I know.
So I'm a Sag. I'm a Sag sun, Aries moon, Cap rising, which means there's a lot of fire. But I'm still really, really grounded because I have to say that if I look at my whole chart, all my other placements are pretty much in Capricorn minus like one. So I'm very, very grounded, but definitely very fiery at the same time. So definitely I feel that Sag and Aries come through at all times.
I love that. I love that. So I saw one of your tweets and I wanted to talk about it because it's very interesting. So you tweeted something like, I think it was a thread, and one of the tweets said, when you harness your sexual energy, your creativity flows freely. You create alchemy in your body. It's absolutely beautiful. So I wanted to talk about that because I feel like the way society has categorized our sexual energy and such things has been very, very like taboo and weird. And it's like, I'm a Scorpio. So
I was gonna ask you too, what's your sign? Okay, yes, perfect.
I'm a Scorpio sun, Scorpio rising, and a Libra moon.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of Scorpio in me, and Scorpios are very, very like
sexual.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I feel like even through the way I speak to people, like I speak with a lot of people tell me I'm very affectionate and stuff like that. Like I like touching people. I like talking and all that. And I feel like that goes to show that like the way I create has a lot to do with the way I see my sexuality, you know?
For sure. And definitely Scorpios do have that very sensual vibe. It's not just like when people think of the word sexual, they think like right away, like intercourse, but sexuality is a lot more than just intercourse, obviously. And you know, being sexual and sensual is part of, like I said, it's part of everything. It's part of creation. It's part of, you know, it's really a big part of us, right?
Yeah.
So, that's great. That's awesome that you were able to recognize that in yourself, right?
How did you come to that realizing when you tweeted that or when you thought of that?
So for me, I guess the way I see it is that creative energy is sexual energy, and they come from the same chakra actually, which is the one, sorry, I don't know. I'm going to sound like an amateur real quick, but I'm not sure which one it is. I don't know if it's the root chakra or if it's the chakra, but anyways, it's the one that's near your genitals, basically.
I think it is the root one.
I'm pretty sure it's the root chakra and it's the red colored chakra.
Yes, if I'm not mistaken.
But so basically for me, creative energy and sexual energy is one of the same. And I came to realize that when I was celibate, not by choice necessarily, but
just because the way life was going.
There's a lot of layers to this, so yeah, I have to get a little bit deeper into it, but I have no problems doing so. So basically, I realized that when you're, first of all, I wanted to redefine what sharing sexual space with someone meant to me.
Yeah.
For a long time, you know, I wasn't connected with myself enough, so I didn't really know the power of what sexual energy is and what sexual connection is.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I guess from there, I had made a choice at a point when I was doing a lot of work on myself that the next sexual encounter that I would have would be intentional, that it would be, you know, it would be a very like a deep connection. It would be, I would take my time. I would, you know, I really wanted to redefine that because we don't realize, but, you know, sexual intercourse or sharing sexual space with someone is very intimate, and it's bonding, right? You're basically sharing that energy with somebody else and creating a tie and a bond with them. And that people don't realize to what extent, you know, because we live in a society that's very detached from all that. And so it's like, oh, you know, sex is just sex. What's the big deal? But for me, in my opinion, anyway, sex is not just sex.
Yeah.
It's an energetic exchange, you know, especially for us women, we're the receivers. We're not the givers.
Yeah.
You know, if you go into energy and like yin energy and yang energy, I mean, yin energy is the receiving energy, which is the feminine energy, and yang energy is the masculine energy. So, you know, it's just, we're, and even our, the way our genitals are, right? Like women receive and men give, right?
That's just, exactly.
It's just what it is. So, you know, I was like, I didn't want any bad juju from anyone or any, like, I wanted to be very intentional with who I was sharing my space with. So to get back to that, I basically went on this like celibacy kind of journey of just not sharing any sexual space with anyone unless it was going to be very intentional. And what I noticed, and this was really just like a very organic thing, was that during that time was when I was the most creative. It's when I had the most ideas for my art pieces. It's when I had the most energy to create, to be in that space, to want to create. I came up with the best things was during that year that I was really not sharing that energy or space with anyone, you know? So that was really interesting for me. And, you know, it depends what you believe. And if you think that like that's it could be a coincidence or not, or I don't know. I don't believe in coincidences in life, but for me, that was a real thing. Was that that year that I really took some time to cool it on the dating or whatever, and just not do my thing, was a time that I was really, really being extremely creative. So, and I had kind of done a little bit of research, a little bit of reading, and like into that to see if that was a real correlation or if it was just my experience. And I came to find out that, like I said, I learned that the chakra that where creative energy comes from is the same one where sexual energy comes from. So, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And if you think about it, I mean, what when you are having intercourse or sex, right? That is where creation stems from. We create, right? We make children from having sex. So obviously, you know, there's some connection there with that same energy of creating another human, you know, by doing that. So, I mean, obviously if you're harnessing that energy and you're not sharing it with someone else, it does something in your chi or in your, whatever you want to call it, in your movement, in your space, you know? So yeah, that's basically, that's it.
You know,
so that's where that came from.
That's crazy because I feel the journey that you're talking about that you went through is exactly what I'm going through right now. Like I chose to become celibate because there were situations in my life where my I felt like my power was taken. Like exactly, we receive and they take, and a lot of times it was like I felt so drained from like going through these situations with the partners that I would have, and I was like, I don't want that anymore. And once I actually took my power back and said, okay, I'm not going to let myself be drained anymore. I'm not going to let myself be stuck in a negative cycle. I'm not going to let myself please a man just to please them. Like, I didn't want to do that anymore, you know? And once I actually put my foot down and I said, I'm going out and I'm taking my power back, everything in my life started becoming, like, started making sense. Everything that I was creating, I felt great about it. I felt good about it. And I felt like, yeah, I have my power back. And I also feel like right now, the situations I've had with, like, sex, like, since the beginning, it was never like, let me please you because I want to please you. It's like, it's like, I'm doing all the pleasing and then you just take. And then I'm left with nothing. To comprend? And then,
yeah, of course.
And that was very draining. And imagine, like, especially when I was a kid, like, not a kid, but when I was young, I didn't know all that about, like, the sexual things and stuff like that. So then now that I realized and took my power back, it's like, it's such a powerful power, and everything that I touch, everything that I touch becomes limitless. Everything that I am becomes very, very beautiful.
I just got a little frisson. I love that. I love that. That everything you touch becomes limitless. That is gold, girl. That is awesome. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I totally resonate with everything you're saying. And unfortunately, you know, it's a societal thing. Yeah. It's a patriarchal thing. And we're not taught to harness that energy. And yeah, it does become giving away your power. And I totally agree with everything you're saying. And also, like, there's a lot of layers to that also for me anyways. I don't know if it's the same for you, but there's a lot of we're taught a lot that, you know, like you said, pleasing is just about the man and not necessarily about the woman. Yeah. We're taught that, you know, there's a lot of shame around sexuality for women and sexual desires for women. There's a lot of shame around, you know, exploring your sexuality, and all of that stems from control, right? So I needed some time also to, like, you know, taking, like, becoming celibate really, or taking some space to be celibate is a really personal thing. And you know, it's something, it's funny because nobody believed me when I was like, yeah, I'm not. And they were like, what?
They look at you weird.
A year? What do you mean? And I was like, well, it wasn't on purpose. It's not like I specifically said, well, this year I'm going to be celibate. And then I had all these desires that I wasn't fulfilling. It's just that my focus shifted. And I was like, look, I want to get to know myself better. Yeah. I want to feel connected in my body. I need to be grounded in who I am before I can share myself with somebody else, you know? And that goes for sexually, not sexually, intellectually, emotionally, whatever that is. I needed to figure out who I was. So, like you said, when you were younger, you know, you were kind of in it for the wrong reasons. Let's just say for lack of a better term. But it was the same for me. You know, I was in it for the wrong reasons. For me, it had to do with a lot of validation. It had to do with a lot of pick me kind of syndrome.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it was a lot of like, okay, well, if I do this, then he'll like me kind of thing, which is a lot of pressure, again, that society puts on us as women, that, you know, we have to fight for love, or we have to fight for attention, or whatever the case may be. But yeah, I just really needed to get into that space where I felt, you know, comfortable and grounded in myself before sharing myself with someone else.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's it.
When you're not comfortable with yourself, everything goes left. Like, when you're not comfortable with yourself and your energy is not right within yourself, and you're going to the extent to sharing that with another person, everything goes left. Like, when that was my first relationship, when whatever I was talking about, that was my first relationship, and that person was in my life for a very long time, and it was always very, very toxic, because we both didn't know who we were. But exactly like you said, like, society, like, how we saw sex is not how it is exactly, because we grew up with all these rappers, with all these singers singing about that, and you think it's very normal. You think it's like, okay, yes, I am supposed to be whatever you want, like, I am supposed to just give you sex whenever you want, but it's never like that. Like, and it's something that I actually wish, like, especially me having a little sister, I wish women would understand it, or sing about, or talk about more, or men also. Like, I feel like they should realize that, but I guess we're growing as a society. We're all growing as people, right?
But, of course, I think we have access to a lot more information now, and consciousness is definitely evolving and, and kind of like getting to a new place where people are understanding things in a different way. Mm-hmm. And especially us women, you know, there's like a lot of dismantling of the patriarchy, a lot mm-hmm. of changes, a lot of, you know, women taking their power back, not just sexual, but period. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I love that for us, but at the same time, I think, yeah, it's just for me personally, like, I was in and out of relationships my whole life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like long relationships too, like 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. I'm talking about like prime time getting to know yourself age, like early 20s, early teen. So I never took the time. I never had the time to truly get to know myself, right? Because mm-hmm. I was always in these long relationships and it was like I was chasing the wrong things, obviously, right? Like we said. So yeah. I never really had the time. And to really like kind of just be on my own, take some space alone, be good with myself alone. Like that was another thing. I was like, I really want to feel good with myself alone first before sharing space with someone else. Yeah, you know?
Exactly.
Because then you get lost. You get really lost, and it's easy to get lost in somebody else and their yes. routine and their things, you know. But if you're able to, you know, hold your own space when mm-hmm. you meet someone, then you meet them halfway because you have your space and your things that you like to do and your hobbies and passions, and they can be the same as the other person's or not, but yeah. at least you know that like you're not gonna go and get lost in somebody else and then completely lose yourself and then be like, who am I don't even know anymore, you know?
Yeah.
so yeah, I'm happy to hear that you also are in that space where you're, you know, you're kind of like standing on your own 2 feet type of thing and doing your own thing, which is great.
Thank you so much, girl.
Yeah, man. Awesome to hear it. I love it. I love it. Thank I get girls you. That DM me sometimes, you know, girls that I don't know, and they DM me and they're like, oh, it's so nice to see a girl who's not with anyone mm-hmm. and who's still doing her thing and like boss babe, whatever. And I take it as a compliment for sure. But then I'm like, but I do still want a man. You guys know
yes.
that. Right?
Like, yes.
I do still want to be with someone. Like, I'm not about that, like, oh, I don't need nobody type of thing. Like, I do need mm-hmm. someone. I don't need, I want someone. I want and that's someone. A very different feeling. I don't need to be with anyone, but being with someone would be nice for sure.
For sure. And the thing is, I'm at a space where I thought like, nah, I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to date anyone. And also those thoughts would come back and I would see like, you know how the universe sends you signs sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
And I would see signs of, and they would be like, someone's coming, or like, or love is coming towards you. But I'd just mm-hmm. be like, no, I don't want it. You know, but that thought can also be very, very dangerous, because not dangerous, but just bad overall, because why are you trying to block the blessings that the universe has for you? Because at the end of the day, everything is meant to happen. So if someone's meant to come in your life, they're going to come in your life. But I was so heartbroken from the past that I'm like, I was so heartbroken from the past and I'm so happy right now. And it's a happiness that like I haven't had in a while and I want to cherish it. But I feel like I understood that happiness and love and kindness and all that you feel within yourself, it's not to be held within yourself, it's to be shared with the people that are around you, right? So
right.
that I would love what you said, because I don't want to be that type of I'm not bitter, but I don't want to say bitter. I don't want to be that type of woman.
Jaded.
Where, yeah, exactly. Like I don't want to be like saying no, I'm an independent woman, I don't need no man, da, 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 all that. Like yes, I am mm-hmm. independent, yes, I'm doing what I want to do. But also, like you said, I would want someone in my life to share that with, to just love life with, because at the end of the day, we're not meant to be beings that stay alone in one space. You know, we're meant.
No, of course not. You know? We're social beings, right?
Exactly.
So of course, that's definitely where it's at. But actually, now that you said it, I had another tweet that I wrote that actually really reminds me of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, let me know when we as a society are ready to swap strong, independent woman who doesn't need anyone, for a confident, balanced, self-aware woman who feels safe to need and help and support from a partner, but doesn't codepend or feed into toxic masculinity. So that's basically where my head is at the same, where it's like, yeah, I'm super independent and I do my own things, and financially, you know, I have my things, I'm all good, but I'm not this bitter, like angry, I don't need anybody type of person. I'm super open. And like you said, I think it's normal to go through phases. Sometimes we need to recluse back onto ourselves and kind of just be in our own energy to heal. And then when you're healed, you know, you can come out of that cocoon, let's say, and then, you know, start opening yourself up to possibilities, you know,
outside
of the ones you limit yourself to, right? You know, so by not bringing your past into it, but just going into something new, you know, with a new mindset, saying, okay, like I learned what I had to learn. Now this is something new, and not bringing your past into the, like, you know, the old you or old patterns into something new, you know? So sometimes you do need that space to heal from that before you do move into something, because you don't want to move into something too quick and then, you know, end up, you know, doing the same thing that you did in a previous relationship, you know, out of fear, right?
That tends to happen a lot, especially not only in relationships, like friendships, anything, whatever you've fed into in the past that you haven't healed from will come back in another shape or form with another being. That's why I don't want to bring that negativity onto anyone, you know. I just want to heal with myself and share just positivity. Exactly. So, but also I wanted to ask you, do you believe that you can, because we spoke about sharing energies through sexual intercourse and such things, but do you believe that you can have a soul tie with someone or energy tie even without the intercourse or anything physical?
Yeah, of course. Oh my god, totally. I mean, energy is energy, right? Whether hold on, sorry, I just, my dog barks so loud and really don't want her to interrupt my little talk right now. But yeah, actually I might even go in the hallway. You were saying, yeah, of course. I mean, energy is energy. See, there we go. I knew she was gonna go at it. Energy is energy, and for sure it doesn't matter whether it's sexual or non-sexual. You can have an emotional tie with someone and it would do the same thing, you know. I've had some ties that I don't really like to speak them into my new existence now because they're in the past, but you know, they were strictly emotional, no physical contact, and they were still very taxing and draining. So, you know, for sure, it's not just a physical thing. It's definitely like all around, you know, just spending time with someone or not even spending time, just talking to them, just basically, it's like an energetic cord, right? So it's like you get attached, and there doesn't necessarily need to be a manifestation of that attachment in a physical way, but it still exists, you know? So yeah, for sure. I definitely think it's possible. That's why I'm super mindful of who I share space, energy, time, anything with, especially physical or non-physical. Just, it's really important, because you can definitely, you know, being so open, definitely in my case, being really open, you can kind of, it attaches onto your aura, you know, and it's not something you necessarily want to have, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And I'm such an open person, and my mom my whole life has been telling me, like, don't trust people, don't do this, like, stop thinking people are there. But I don't want to adopt that mindset.
No,
because
no.
I don't like,
and you're right, you know, for that too.
I don't like being paranoid. And to be honest, if anything's gonna happen, I've lived on this earth for 22 years, and if anything's gonna happen to me, I know I can get through it, and I know
of course
it's gonna pass, you know what I mean? So I don't want to live in a world where I'm paranoid. I don't want to live in a world where I doubt everyone. That's just so weird, you know?
No, and anyways, you know, that's another way of blocking your blessings, right? Because someone may come with good intentions, and then you're just like, oh no, I don't want to, whatever, and then it'll be you know, blocking it for you. But it's important to be careful with that too, because parents sometimes have this like old school way of thinking, and they don't get it. For me, it was the opposite. I was actually really closed off as a person for a really long time. But I know I had so much to share
on the inside with people. You know, I knew how to bright light. I just had my own things that I needed to sort out before opening myself up. Yeah. And once I did, it's like a valve, you know, it's like the mm-hmm. valve was closed and then I opened it and then I needed to gauge like, where are my boundaries? Okay, now I'm more open, but like not too open. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think it's just about having a good balance of, you know, being, having boundaries and being able to understand when someone is, you know, following your gut and your intuition too. And mm-hmm. you'll feel it when someone has good intentions towards you or not. And then kind yeah. of adjusting along, you know, how you feel, right? Yeah. How you feel on the inside around people and stuff like that.
Do you know, because I don't know if I'm, I don't know. I want to ask you, like, how do you know when it's your intuition speaking or your fear or insecurity speaking? Because I still have a hard time with that.
Yeah, it's a super good question. And well, you, when it's your intuition, it's kind of that, like that little feeling that you get right in the beginning and you kind of can't shut it off type of thing. Mm-hmm. It's like a little gut feeling that you get and you're like, oh, you like the way it would happen to me is that I would get like a gut feeling and then I would kind of like ignore it. Wait, so sorry.
It's okay.
There's no one. Come here. Come. So yeah, no, I would kind of get a feeling and then I would ignore it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the more you're grounded in yourself and the more you're comfortable in yourself and you know yourself, the more that voice gets louder, you know? Yeah. And my best friend always laughs because every time we meet someone new, I don't know if it's like, I don't know, maybe some people are more intuitive than others or have just developed that more, but I could tell right away. Mm-hmm. And like when I meet someone, I'll be like, no,
that's not it.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Cause my best friend is super sweet and she's really mm-hmm. like, she's very open and very like, not naive, but just open. And she just thinks everyone has the best interest. And I'll be like, no, I don't like this person. And she'll be like, oh, you're just saying that. I'm like, no, trust me. And then a few weeks later, something will happen. And then she'll be like, oh, you were right about something. I'm like, I told you, yeah. I know, you know, it's the feeling. But yeah, I think it's just practicing. To get back to your question, it's just practicing, listening to yourself, listening mm-hmm. to your body, paying attention, not only like hearing, like, let's say like a voice or whatever in terms of your intuition, but how does your body feel around somebody? Pay attention to your body language. Do you cross your arms a lot when you're around that person? Do you feel like you're not, you know, like when you feel safe around someone, your body in itself will feel safe around that person. Mm-hmm. And when you don't, your body will not feel safe. And I think it's just a question of listening to ourselves more yeah. and paying more attention. And then you'll get all the information you need to know, you know, because you're constantly divinely guided and you always have someone, the universe, source, God, whatever you want to call it, that's there kind of guiding you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you'll always be guided and it's just a question of listening and paying attention or not, you know? So,
but
like you said, and it's true that we self-sabotage, we mm-hmm. are afraid. And then we say like, oh no, this person, like, but if you're really honest with yourself and you're very aware and you pay attention and you listen, you'll know when it's, okay, I'm sabotaging this and I'm afraid, or no, this person doesn't feel good for me. You know yeah. what I mean? And also what's really important, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, I think the body language thing you said, that says a lot because it's true. Your body speaks before your mind or your mouth. So peeping what you're doing when you're with someone says a lot because, I was just thinking about this one situation where I doubted myself so many times. Because I was like, no, like, that's not true. They're good people, or mm-hmm. they're there for me and stuff like that. And whether we like it or not, us being around people that we don't feel comfortable around, it doesn't mean that that person's a bad person. It just means that not all the time. Like, sometimes it just means that person's not for you, right?
Exactly.
So totally. That's,
and yeah. for me, I mean, I sometimes don't vibe with people, not because, like you said, they're not bad people. It's just we just don't you know, it's like water and fire, or, you know, it just clashes. Mm-hmm. It just, it's not, it doesn't, it's, yeah, but symbiose. It's not, you know, an exchange. And yeah, so I think that that's fine. Just paying attention to your body language, and your body picks up on a lot of subconscious things before mm-hmm. your mind or your eyes or your whatever else. So yeah, just pay attention to how you feel around people, and take your time, you know, like, there's nothing wrong with, like, when we talk about intuition, like, it doesn't mean that, okay, you'll get a first sign once and then, oh, okay, that's it. Like, I'm done with this person.
Yeah.
Like, you can be like, okay, I'm not sure, but I'm going to give you like maybe another try and see. And then if that second time you still don't feel, it's like, you know what? I don't feel good. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, don't force yourself, you know? And I think that's really important.
That's good. That's sure. good.
Yeah.
But also, talking about, like, because we're, I feel like we're both spiritual, like, beings, we believe in the universe and all that. How yeah. did you start your journey? Like, how did that go for you? And when did you start it, even? Because,
oh, that's a really good question. My journey started around 27. So mm-hmm. pretty late. I mean, I don't know if I guess it's relative. Some people it's earlier, some people it's later, but I was always spiritual, period. Like, I always believed in something bigger than myself. What that meant to me, maybe I wasn't sure yet, but I always kind of knew that religion was an organization. Like, it was just to organize people. I never felt a very big connection to religion, but I did feel a very big connection to spirituality. My mom was a very open person, so I think maybe that kind of helped me push me towards that, because she was very open. And she was also really into like esoteric stuff and stuff like that. She told me when she was pregnant with me, she was like really into it. So I feel like maybe that set the tone for how I was going to be as a person, you know, because like when she was pregnant with me, she was like reading all these books and stuff. So I'm sure that like that kind of, you know, manifested somehow. But yeah, I started around 27. I was kind of seeking that and because I was in school and I was doing all the things that I needed to do, and like all my ducks were in a row, and somehow I still felt like there was not a void, but I felt like I didn't know. I felt like I was doing everything society was saying I was supposed to do, but I still didn't feel
whole.
I didn't feel whole. Yeah, I was like, there has to be something bigger. And then that kind of brought me on my journey. I had a mentor at one point, like the spiritual mentor, which ended up being really disastrous. I say disastrous, but today I thank that person so much, because it taught me so much about boundaries, mm-hmm. about listening to your intuition, about, you know, energetic ties, you know, non-physical energetic ties, but all kinds of things. But at that moment, you know, I was in expansion mode. I'm sure it's because I seeked it and I asked for that subconsciously somewhere. And I was learning a lot, but I was learning a lot and fast. And then at one point it just blew up. It was too much, too soon, too quick. And then my idea of reality shifted a lot. And I was like, I didn't know. That's what they call the dark night of the soul, is what I know what it, like, I know what that is now. At the time, I didn't know what that was, but that's a time where they say that, like, you know, it's kind of like everything comes crumbling down and it's like, you don't know anymore. That's how I felt. I felt like everything around me was crumbling, and my system, my value system, my belief system, everything that I knew to be true that made me who I was, I didn't resonate with it anymore. Mm. And so I felt like I needed to rebuild that, and I needed to find answers. And I had all these questions, these big questions. I had like a little mini existential crisis where I was like, yeah, well, what's the point of life? Like, what's the purpose? And we do all this for what? Like, you know, and it was just like a lot of questions, a lot of rebuilding. And it wasn't so fun at first. It was really scary, to be honest. You know, people think like spiritual awakening is like this beautiful thing and you're going to be, yeah, like all peace and love. It's not. It's a lot of darkness, shadow work. It's a lot of rebuilding. It's a lot of reassessing. It's a lot of like kind of putting pieces back together and making your own conclusions. It's a lot of asking questions and realizing that maybe a lot of things that you learned are not, you know, true or, yeah, you know, are different or changing. So yeah, it was just, you know, we see a lot of our value systems and belief systems come from our parents and what we see. And what I saw didn't make sense to me. So I was like, I need to find a new meaning for what these things mean to me so that I don't repeat the same patterns that my parents did, you know what I mean? Like, or that, you know, I don't want to live that same life. So yeah, it was just like a lot of work, I would have to say. So now I'm 31. So it started, I want to say like my spirit, my self discovery journey started maybe when I was 23, but my spiritual journey started when I was 27. So from 27 to 31, I'm still working on it.
Yeah.
But I'm a lot more grounded in it now though. Like I'm a lot more comfortable. It's not as scary as it was at the time, but yeah, it was a lot of, it's a long time coming. It was a lot of work and a lot of, searching, yeah, a lot of seeking, a lot of finding. And I mean, it's been beautiful nonetheless, ups and downs. And it has given me a new found meaning for life, right? And it's just a beautiful thing, you know. We're here to co-create, and a lot of people don't get that, you know. You are the master of your ship and it is your life, but you're co-creating with a higher power. So that higher power is just ready to serve you and do what it is that you want. You just got to figure out what it is that you want so that that higher power can assist you in receiving those things, you know. And people don't get that, you know. They don't get that, you know, some people are so blind, you know, they don't see, you know, figuratively, obviously, that like sometimes you ask for the bread, right? And God will give you all the ingredients to make the bread and you're still asking for the bread. And it's like, yo, like you have all the ingredients. It's not going to come on a silver platter, you know? So it's just a question of getting real with yourself, getting honest. What do you want out of life? Who do you want to be in the world? Asking those big questions that to me are more important than, oh, where am I going to buy my next house? Or what car am I going to drive? Like, who cares? Material is fun, but it's not everything, you know? And it's more important to decide, you know, I mean, I think so anyways, at this age, so that you don't turn around at 60 and say like, wow, I wasted all this time, my whole life chasing something that's not important in the end, you know?
That's very true. And also, I feel like a lot of people don't understand that when you are content within yourself and when you actually find like the luxury that you're trying to find outside of yourself, within yourself, then that luxury that you're trying to get outside will come to you gradually, like naturally, you know.
You're so wise. You're so wise for 22. My God, when I was 22, I was so stupid. wow, that's really good to hear. Yeah, for sure. You. Definitely. That's definitely true. And I always say that, like, you know, if you chase your passion, the money will come. Money is a byproduct. It's energetic. Everything is energetic. So, you know, attracting abundance starts with you being an abundant person, you know. And what does that mean? You know, obviously there's so much to say and so much to cover that I don't think we can go through everything, but what does it mean to be an abundant person? It's not just like, oh, well, you give to receive. It's you change the way you change the vibrational frequency that your energy is on, yeah, to a frequency of love and not a frequency of fear. And that changes everything. And a lot of that has to do with how we're programmed and, you know, like how you love yourself, you know, that is so important. If you want, you know, let's just say to put something, to give it a number, like you want to make $100,000. Okay. And you, in your fundamental self, like in your truest self, don't believe that you're worth making $100,000, you'll never make that money. You won't see that money.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of repair whatever it is on the inside of you that you need to fix in order to be able to attract that abundance, you know? So yeah, that's, it's a lot of work, you know. It's work, and it's getting radically honest with yourself in terms of, you know, what you need to work on, who you need to be in order to receive the things that you want, you know?
Exactly. And also for like the people that are listening and that don't really relate to like spirituality and stuff like that, even all the words you said about finding yourself, Chloe, like even in that aspect, like in life, you will find yourself and you will find happiness or whatever it is you're seeking for exactly at your rock bottom. Like when you're at rock bottom and you're asking yourself, like, what is my life? What is this? What is that? That's exactly when all your doors open, because there are so many possibilities for you at that point. Because now, like, you just are questioning everything and you're ready to actually take the step to find those answers. So don't be thinking because we're spiritual and all that, it doesn't relate to everyone. It does relate to everyone. Like when you do the work for yourself, that's when shit changes for you. And also, like Chloe said, it doesn't happen overnight. Like a flower doesn't grow overnight, you know?
Yeah, for sure not. And yeah, no, like you said, I relate a lot back to spirituality. But I mean, if you go to therapy, you know, if you see a therapist, that's not like a whimsical woo-woo spiritual thing. And if you go to therapy, like you can find all these same answers just explained differently. Like, I think that a lot of things in life are very similar and they're just expressed in a different way. Mm-hmm. You know, like you say, like what you call God, I call the universe. What someone else calls source, I call God, you know? So it's like everything is interchangeable and it's all really the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's just a question of what resonates with you. You know, for me, spirituality really resonated with me. And, like you said, for people who are listening who are not very spiritual, you know, there's a rational way of explaining these things too, that is non-spiritual, and you could relate to that instead and it would still give you the same outcome, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I wish we could talk all day. I actually enjoyed our conversation so much, Chloe. Yeah. So thank you so much for coming.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really flattered. It's always nice to hear that people want to talk about this kind of stuff. Because every time I talk about it, everyone's like, what are you, this girl's crazy.
I feel you. Me too. That's exactly why I started a podcast. Like I was ready to just have those conversations with the podcast rather than the people that I see in my daily life, you know?
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. So I have to congratulate you on that. That's amazing that's, you know, that's something that you're doing. So congrats. And, you know, you have a really good energy and I'm sure that, you know, you'll do big things and you're so young, you have the sky's the limit. So like, you know, if you're getting these things now at this stage, you're only going to prepare yourself for amazing things in the future.
Thank you so much, Chloe. And guys, don't forget to follow her and purchase your Astro Bae. They're so cute.
Thank you.
Can you spell your at for them?
Yeah, sure. So my Instagram handle is at, obviously the at sign, Chloe, Chloe. Mm-hmm. And then my last name, Lallouz, all stuck together. So at Chloe Lallouz. That's my info.
Have a beautiful day, guys.
Thank you again for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and let your people know that they don't want to miss this.